Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour two of C2C on a Misery Monday, Carver High under a tremendous strain, and it's evolving rapidly over the Bills. Playing tonight against the Jags in the B-low. Any night there's a Bills game, there's stress. He just wants a win. He doesn't like betting on the Bills. He likes to have a cold beer, and he wants his team to win. And I understand that fully. And my team won yesterday. I was there. First time in 3 years I was in Pittsburgh. It was great to be back. And tonight your team's playing, and you're playing a desperate team. So we keep talking about the NFL here, but I can feel your pain.
Yeah, we will get to that one later this hour, of course. The Bills and the Jags tonight in the B-low should be a very lathered up crowd at Highmark Stadium, as it usually is. I mean, they're lathered up for 1 p.m. on a Sunday. You get them at 8 o'clock, at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. It's going to be even worse. Chiefs beat the Falcons 22-17, Scotty, last night on Sunday Night Football. Now, the Falcons had, I guess you would like to call it, several opportunities to win this game. Is that a fair statement, I guess you could make? Several opportunities. Now, they had the drive, their second to last drive of the game, where I'm pretty sure that was pass interference on Kyle Pitts when he was going for that touchdown in the end zone. Should have been first to goal, the one, but no flag. They don't kick the field goal. They don't get it on fourth down. They give it back to Kansas City. They drive down again, Scotty, inside the 20-yard line, and they have a fourth and very short with about a minute left to try to extend the game. Here it is, Westwood One Sports last night.
The ball right now is in between the 12 and the 13. The marker is right at the 12. Fourth down and a half yard. Robinson and Algier in the game. Split backfield behind Cousins. Cousins goes under center. Cousins takes the snap. Hand off Robinson, sweeping left, hit in the backfield, and he is stopped.
Oh, no. Oh, what a disaster. And then my buddy, as you know, I have a huge Falcons friend in Atlanta, and basically what he did was he complained all day about it. He said today, it was our own fault, even with all the spilled milk. I cried about they had a shot if they would have kicked the field goal instead of going for it and then stopped them. And all they would have had to do is kick a field goal there at the end instead of handing it to Bijan Mustard, hoping for the first down. It's always something goes wrong for this team. It really is. Like, when do they ever catch a break? I mean, they don't. The Super Bowl, Matt Ryan never got it done, even though he was a great quarterback for them. And now here they are losing games. They should have won that game. And you got the champs on the ropes, and you end up losing again, because they always end up losing.
They always end up losing. And look, it's obviously at the end, it's easy to sit there and say, oh, they should have kicked the field goal the first time, then they could have kicked the field goal the second time, and they would have won the game by a point. That's nice to say, but don't we always scream and yell at these guys to go for it when they're down 5 points?
Analytics.
Everybody wants them to go. Everybody always wants them to go. Go for it. Go for it. Yeah, they got jobbed on the Pitts play. It should have been a flag, and it should have been first and goal at the one. But that's the price of doing business when you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, that's the way that it goes. All right, you get those calls all the time. So I didn't have a problem with him going for it, Scotty, the first time. My problem was on that play that we just played, that dopey sweep or whatever that was to the outside to Bijan Robinson, you've got that bigger guy. Algier is like a hammer. Like, I don't know why you didn't just send Algier up the middle like a hammer and try to get the yard and a half, 2 yards that way. Made no sense to me, what the play calling. That was my problem.
I'll be honest. I think running it now on fourth down, no matter who's carrying the bread, it's a difficult task in the NFL. When they line up and they get tight on a fourth down at the line of scrimmage, it is brutal to get even a half a yard, let alone 2 yards. So I don't like either guy running the ball there. I'm going to throw it in the slant, in the flat. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to try to get some space because there are no holes when it's fourth and that distance. And they crunch in. And then, you know, the Eagles have their tush, right? But they're the only ones that can make it work. And I don't know if it still works with the new kid at center. But very few teams can get those yards, Mike. It's tough in the NFL. I saw it yesterday. The Steelers and Chargers both have great running games, and they couldn't get it going. The Steelers got it going late. But at the end of the day, they had like 100 and some yards rushing, and the Chargers didn't because the Steelers wouldn't let them have anything. So I think it's hard to run in the NFL nowadays with defense.
It certainly is. It was very hard to run for three quarters in New Orleans yesterday too, Scotty, between the Eagles and the Saints. This game was 3-0 Saints going into the fourth quarter. Things did get wild in the fourth, though. Eagles end up getting a 15-12 win, thanks in large part to Saquon Barkley on Fox.
7 catches, his best game. Here's Barkley, Saquon!
How about that crowd in New Orleans?
Yeah,
it sounded like everyone was an Eagles fan. He is right now at some level, I think, in the conversation for MVP. He's having big games almost every night out. Every game they play, even games that they got smoked, he still had a big game. He dropped the pass. He had 95 yards in that game. He dropped the pass, and then he, like a man said, it's my fault we lost. I dropped it. I've caught it before. I've dropped it before. And I dropped this one, and it sucked. And I'm sorry. And I'll try to make it up to you the next game. And he keeps doing that. He had a huge game yesterday. At the end of the day, when A.J. Brown has been out, Mike, he's their best player.
He has been their best player. He had a buck 47 and two tutties. He had the great octopus at the end there. He had the second touchdown with the two-point conversion that put him up 3-15-12. He did it all for them because the Eagles got a lot of problems injury-wise on the offense right now. They already were out Brown. I mean, I'm sure you saw this play too. Devonta Smith got destroyed by some dude on the Saints yesterday. So I don't know if you're going to expect to see him anytime soon either. Next, let's go to Tennessee. Packers beat the Titans 30-14. No Jordan Love again. Malik Willis, who actually played very well, Scotty, but as we discussed a lot during the week, what were you going to get from Levis and this Titans offense? Would he finally stop making some mistakes out there? The answer was no on Fox.
The first couple of weeks for Levis as he goes to the air. It's intercepted. Jair Alexander high stepping for six.
Well, what are you talking about, Willis? I cannot believe that this guy is now winning. Because I've never thought anything of him as a quarterback. I never wanted him on the Steelers, and I was like, good riddance. And then I thought he got his paychecks, he said last week on our show. I got paid in Tennessee, and now he's in Green Bay, which is, you know, a glove that fits. You play in that organization, they can make anyone look good. I think they got great, you know, organization, coaching, front office, everything about them is better than the Titans. And that's just all there is to it. And everyone knows it.
I agree with you. I said it to you last week, and I'll say it again. I think a lot of people thought that Matt LaFleur was like kind of just dragged around by Aaron Rodgers. Like he was a great coach. You know, he was a young coach, but he was only good because he had Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. Last year, he turned Love into a great quarterback. And now this year, Love's hurt, and he's had amazing game plans the last 2 weeks to win both games with Love out of the lineup. LaFleur's done a hell of a job in Green Bay. He's a good coach.
He does
a great job.
It's the same thing as Tomlin. Tomlin's older, but Tomlin is 76 games over 500 in his 17 years. And that's how you don't get fired in the NFL. And LaFleur has the same kind of buildup in his record. He's winning so many games year to year. He's turning into a Tomlin. All he does is win.
That's all he does. I do want to play you that Titan coach, Callahan, when we come back. He once again wasn't very happy after the game.
You're going to bench that kid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, your boy down in Nashville is not very happy. We like him because he's a straight shooter. He is unpleased with his team.
He is unpleased. We're starting to like this guy, Callahan. In fact, he keeps losing. We don't want him to get fired because he's too
Dirty
good
Harry.
At the press conferences.
Dirty
he's
Harry
very
Callahan.
Honest. And we love honesty on Coast to Coast. Here's Brian Callahan, Titan head coach.
You know, at the end of the day, I've not done a good enough job. We're an 0-3 football team. I'm an 0-3 head coach.
Go.
It's
Taking
embarrassing and disappointing. I've got to be a lot better than I've been, and this is frustrating and unfortunate and not what I thought we were capable of to start the season. And at the end of the day, can't continue to have turnovers like that on offense, even though, we had 7 more points to another team, and they did a great job possessing the football.
You know, I actually think it's not him. He's not the problem. His intensity in coaching, I like. It's that the team, the players suck. Their quarterback sucks. They have no offensive line. Their running game is pathetic. They went and got this guy Pollard. Look what he's brought him. Their defense sucks. I mean, they're on the verge of a horrible season and an empty stadium in just a matter of weeks. They have to do something, Mike, to turn it around. And I think, and I know it sounds crazy, but the Steelers had to go to Rudolph when they did because of injuries. But he carried them to the playoffs, and he got it done. And he's better than, frankly, Will Levis. Will Levis is overrated. He's Mr. Mayonnaise. He's Mr. Take His Shirt Off and Pose for All the Girls. But the bottom line is he's starting to look to me to be a college quarterback, a lot like Kenny Pickett was. Kenny was a great college quarterback, and in the pros, he sucks. And that's just all there is to it. Now, I know we got a lot of friends that know him and his family, and that doesn't change the fact that they're all great people and that Kenny's a great guy, but he sucks. And the Steelers got rid of him. And Will Levis is doomed in Nashville. They cannot continue to lose games every week and just stand pat.
Can't do it. I would expect this week, and I don't know if Callahan's talked yet today or not, but they got to be close to pulling the plug and going to Mason Rudolph. It's because it's just too many turnovers. You can't keep handing the ball to the other team. You just can't do it. And I think that it's probably going to be the end of the line for him. I believe that next week you have the Titans where are they? Oh, Monday night in Miami next week. So they got an extra day to prepare. They're playing next Monday night.
It's a loss.
So we shall see if that one goes down. All right, a little bit on this Ram 49er game, Sky. This was a wild game
yesterday.
What a shame.
The
Niners had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of this one, up 24-14. And they had a huge performance. How about Juwan Jennings, who had 175 yards and 3 touchdowns? You had Kyren Williams with the hat trick for the Rams. He had 3 tutties for them. And the Rams come all the way back. They tie it with a minute 51 to go off of the Niners missing a field goal. And then the Cardi field goal with 2 seconds left gives the Rams a 27-24 win. Sean McVay, very proud of his team.
I think, you know, I'm more interested in, hey, I see better than I hear. I saw a team respond after a really humbling week last week. And, you know, 3 hours will never define you, good or bad, unless you allow it to. And, you know, we've got to do a good job of being able to build on this. You know, this game's going to be over. It's great to be able to get our first win in the fashion that we were able to get it. But how quickly can we make sure, hey, let's look at this, let's clean it up, and let's move forward while making sure that there's still a little bit of joy in terms of how you move. And this will make for, you know, a good opportunity to progress and try to be able to build on.
Or in Portuguese, next man up. They had their entire team in the hospital, a MASH unit, and they beat the Niners, and they were getting their ass beat. You know, honestly, there's nothing really in life that I like more than watching, frankly, the Niners and the Chiefs lose football games, and the Chiefs never lose. So the only thing I have to hang my hat on is the Niners losing Super Bowls and stuck at 5 for like what seems like forever. And I hope it stays that way forever, frankly. I don't think it will, but I hope it does. In fact, I light a candle for the Niners to lose every year at church. I go in and light a candle and I leave like $20. And I'm like, oh, Lord, please, please have the Niners lose again in the Super Bowl. Not just make it a good season, but go to the Super Bowl and lose another one. They just keep losing Super Bowls.
And just remember, I know the Niners, everybody talking about how many injuries they have. That's on offense. Debo, McCaffrey.
Right.
Their offense wasn't a problem yesterday. I thought Purdy played well in the game. Obviously, Jennings had 11 grabs for 175. I know you can't find Ayuk anywhere who had 5 grabs for 40 yards.
How did they lose that game?
Defense again, letting the Rams. I mean, they're letting Tutu Atwell and these other guys run all over them in the secondary. Awful job by the Niner defense. Like the Cowboys, they deserve to be criticized for a pathetic effort. How about the Panthers beating the Raiders? 36-22, another 0-2 team. You had the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, come in. First quarterback this year to throw for 300 yards in a game and 3 touchdowns. Andy Dalton's the only one who's done it. Here's Antonio Pierce after the game, Scotty. Apparently he felt some of the Raider players weren't giving their all in the second half.
The team just didn't seem to show up tonight.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so now remember, I have from the get-go said that I don't believe in this guy. I know he cheats. All he did at Arizona State was cheat. They gave him this job because he won a couple games. They have always we've had this conversation. Mark Davis is a moron. The only thing he's ever done right in his life is move to Las Vegas for $6 billion. That was the best decision he ever made. But his football decisions and running that team, I know they have other people that run the team and all the rest. I don't like it. I really didn't like it when they did it. And his tough guy act, I guarantee you, will wear thin. You know, you start threatening people at work with their jobs and all this other stuff. You want to see people turn on you? Just keep telling them how you're going to get rid of this guy and that guy. Like, he just plays like this tough bully. And they're 1-2. They have one great player, two, Adams and Crosby. That's it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, Mike, seriously, your opinion I want on this guy. Do you buy his shtick and his acumen? I think they win because of Crosby, Adams. I don't mind a Minshew. I think he can play. I think he's a really decent player. I mean, I don't think he's great. I think he's decent. And they can win games. They have some ballers. But, you know, I don't buy his act. He cheated so bad with Herm Edwards at Arizona State, and even Callahan, our friend, they all ran out of there like in the night so they could escape all the charges and allegations, and nothing ever happened to any of them. And then the guy's rewarded with an NFL job, and then they promote him to head coach in 5 minutes. And I just don't buy it. I think he's a good assistant, and I think he was a a good cheater in college. And I thought he was a really good player. And I know I've had my problems with him in New York. He wanted to beat my ass because I got under his skin. He used to come on my show all the time. Mafia remembers at Howard Stern. And I got under his skin. And that's all there is to it. Now, I have nothing against him at all. I think he's, you know, a cool dude. I never had a problem with him. He had problems with me. And so I don't think he's really cut out for it. We'll see. Let's see all the Super Bowls he wins and all the playoff games he wins in Las Vegas. Now, I know everyone out there is so high on him, but they're always high on everybody. And they think they're going to win the Super Bowl every year. And they're another franchise that is so far removed from being good. When they were good was when Al Davis ran them, not Mark.
No, it's very true. And I think that sometimes teams regret, you know, you have the guy who was a former player. He's never been a head coach before. Guys in the locker room do rally around him because, you know, he's still young enough that a lot of them probably watched him play. They respect his passion for the game. They respect how he's a player's guy. But when you get down to it sometimes, Scotty, you know, those guys are great motivators, but they need to have the right structure around them, offensively, defensively, coordinators, etc. Because sometimes schematically, it's just not the same. And, you know, we've seen him get in trouble, obviously, at Arizona State. There was obviously a lot of cheating going on there. There was things happening. He was a position coach, you know, last year, and he got kind of thrown into the job.
Right.
Players rallied around him. And look, they go 5-12 this year. It wouldn't stun me if it's a short, because everybody's got a short leash now in the NFL. Everybody. Yeah.
The other guy was Ray Anderson, our friend, who was the athletic director. Right. I just remembered I called him Callahan because we were talking about Callahan from Tennessee. Ray Anderson was running it. And you know, Herm Edwards, everyone's favorite guy. We played to win the game. They're still shoving that down our throats. The same thing with Bart Scott. I can't wait. They can't stop playing that clip. Or can't Jim Mora. Playoffs. These are like, you know, quotes of the ages. But I never thought, I never thought Herm Edwards was a great coach at, you know, the NFL, frankly, or at Arizona State. I thought he was a really good player for the Eagles. He was a great player who they tried to make this great coach. And all he did was cheat.
Yep, that's all that he did. That's for sure. He left that program in shambles that now Kenny Dillingham is trying to put back together out there at Arizona State. All right, let me just quickly do these last ones. Lions beat the Cardinals 20-13. They scored that awesome touchdown, Scotty, on the hook and ladder play. I can't even play it because the guy's call was so bad, so I'm not even going to get involved there. But good win for Detroit. They did cover the number. Game was way under, though. Remember, that was a big total in the 50s. Didn't even come close. Giants beat the Browns 21-15. Forget Dable. I don't want to hear from him. You want to know why Daniel Jones looked good this week, Scotty? And you want to know why Daniel Jones looked good last week?
I know
because
why.
Of Malik Neighbor. Because of Malik Neighbors. That's why he looks good.
He's a rookie of the year. There's your rookie.
First player in NFL history with at least 20 catches and 3 touchdowns in his first 3 career games. I know you were at the game, but I'm sure you saw the highlights of the 1 o'clock games after. The first touchdown he had, I mean, how high off the ground did he get? Jones threw that ball so far over his head. How high did Neighbors jump to get that first touchdown? Dude's a freak.
He is. And let me say this. Like, all these people on all these networks that, and you know exactly who I'm talking about, that say all day long, they do their NFL expertise, the hack quarterback, the fat lineman that nobody knew when he played in Dallas. And nobody knew when he played at LSU. They all say, you know, oh, he's the greatest player ever. They're the greatest player. Oh, my God. Don't get me started.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So I ran out of time at the end there, Mike. And what I was saying was, I don't have anything against these people. I just don't like them. I'm not a fan of it. I have it on in here. I don't have the volume up, thank God. And I'm not saying that are suggesting I'm better than any of these people at doing anything, broadcasting or otherwise, even though I am. The reality is, you know, I'll stack what I've done in radio and TV against what that guy did in the NFL or in college, and then his short broadcasting career. Now, I know he's a big rising star on the network, but he's the same one that tells you that Caleb Williams is a generational player. Generational. Like, you know, Joe Montana, Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady was a six-round draft pick. No one thought he was going to do what he did. Not one person alive except his father. And maybe a couple of, you know, maybe Bill Belichick started seeing it in him and trusting him enough. But the reality is this. The other guy, Spears, no offense. I don't know him. I never cared about him when he played. I was like, okay, here's Dallas again. Oh, yeah, LSU, they cheat. Thanks so much. And when I say it, I mean it. So everyone down there knows. They don't like me. I don't like you. I don't like you, okay? And I'm better at not liking people. So here's the deal. I don't need the chick that's so smart telling me anything either. They got her on there. The girl from Seattle is suddenly a Harvard grad, and they got her telling you all your football advice. The only ones that make sense to me are Cromartie and Clark, and they both know, and I know, and you know, and Mafia and Luke knows, and everyone on Sports Grid knows. Neighbors is already the rookie of the year. He's already the rookie of the year. If he plays and does not get injured, it does not even matter what their record is. He is so talented. He's making Marvin Harrison look like he doesn't matter. And that kid had a two-tutty game and 150 yards the other day, a couple of weeks ago. And he is a badass. But this guy, Neighbors, he's like Beckham. When Beckham came to the Giants, without all the bullshack, because Odell Beckham, when he came to the Giants, was an immature mope. And you know what? I pull that out very seldom. When you're a mope, you're just painful. He was so immature and painful with all of his nonsense when he got married to the kicking machine on the sideline. And he got in fights and he did everything else. This guy Neighbors, doesn't act like that. He's just a baller, straight up baller, and he is the best player as a rookie in the NFL, hands down. I'm sick of hearing about the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams with all of his mistakes, and that coach of theirs is ass butter, okay? Ass butter. Do you hear me? Ass butter. He is worthless. I don't want to hear it. All I heard from that show, you know, I got it on for a minute or two. Oh, coach of the year. Coach of the year. Bears are going to the Super Bowl. Shut up and tell them all I said so, because I don't need friends. I already got friends. So I'm fine with everyone not liking me. That's great. You know what I mean? Like, so bring it on. And I'm right. All I ever hear from that hack-ass quarterback is this guy's generational. This guy's analytics. This guy's arm trajectory. This guy throws it this hard. Listen, bro. We're all bettors over here, and we're all good bettors over here on Sports Grid. We don't listen to you. We don't listen to you. Hate me all you want, and I'm right. You sucked as a quarterback in the NFL and college. I cannot believe you made a lot of money in the NFL. That's how bad you were. My daughter's a better quarterback than you. Hands down, and Carver Hyde's daughter is too. And she's a better softball player, and a better basketball player, and a better volleyball player. Both of those girls are better than you at everything, and they're both teenagers and a young girl. Okay, so I don't want to hear it from that dude. In fact, I don't care about any of them. Hate me all you want. I'm right. This is all I ever hear, because people watch that channel. Fair enough. I get it. They're the, you know, they're the king. Fair enough. The king has the crown. But when you put people on there trying to sell their bullshack to me, it makes me want to stick my fist through the TV and punch somebody. Rabbit punch, NHL style, Carver High. Sorry that took so long, but I'm right.
You can have all the talent in the world. You get put in a position with bad coaching, bad line, bad circumstances. Doesn't matter how generational you are.
I thought they were so loaded.
It doesn't matter how generational you are. Broncos got their first win of the year. They beat the Bucs 26-7. That was a dangerous one lane with the Bucs yesterday, and sure enough, they paid you for it. Colts beat the Bears 21-16. Williams wasn't great again, Scotty. And Richardson wasn't great either for the Colts, but they were able to do just enough to get it done in that game. Seahawks beat the Dolphins 24-3. That was ugly. Very ugly
Skyler,
game.
Skyler, that's the dude with a chick's name. He got hurt. We were talking about it earlier. And that's your boy Boyle that came in. Like Boyle on your ass cheek.
Yeah, they got big problems with Tua not in there. I thought that with the extra rest, McDaniel would be able to scheme something up to get the ball in Hill and Waddle's hands and maybe do some things. That was wrong. He can't do it. They need somebody who can actually. You know what they should do? I don't know who suggested this earlier today. Now that Russell Wilson's not going to play for the Steelers, they should call Pittsburgh and get Russell Wilson to go. If Tua's going to be out for a long time. You like that security of having Russ standing there on the sideline just in case.
No way do I trade him.
And Tomlin likes it too. I would have to.
Rooney's so cheap that they don't want to pay their running back. Najee doesn't have a deal. He's in his fifth year.
Nope.
Meanwhile, he catches all their passes underneath. He gets them all their rushing yards. He busts his ass. He doesn't get in trouble. He's the perfect guy for the job in Pittsburgh. They should re-sign him. And I would no more trade him or trade Russell Wilson than fly a kite. I mean, you need two good quarterbacks in the NFL. If you have one good quarterback and a hack quarterback, like the hack on ESPN, he never did anything. When they put him in, he, pooped his pants. Okay? Because he was a hack. And the league's filled with them. They all make a lot of money. Backups make $5, $10 million. But that doesn't mean they're good. And that's the reality of it. You and I have been watching this league forever. Me longer than you. And I have watched hack backups in this league do nothing for 50-plus years. You have to have two good quarterbacks nowadays. And you cannot go into a game without a kicker. I've never seen an idiot move like that Daboll pulled off in that game they lost. They should be 2-1, but he's like, screw it. Who needs a kicker? Those days are over. You need a punter, you need a kicker, and you need two good quarterbacks. And that's all there is to it.
Gotta have it. Gotta have two good quarterbacks nowadays in the NFL. You're always one play away from having to put the other guy in, and he needs to be able to actually move the football, which Miami does not have right now, that's for sure. All right, we do have, to finish off week number three, a doubleheader on Monday night. Two games tonight. I like when they do this. I think it's this week and next week, Scotty, they're giving you two. Because you got a little bailout. If one game stinks, you can always move yourself over to the next one, which you're going to have to do next week, by the way, because Miami and Tennessee is a Monday night game. So you'll be able to flip over to Detroit and Seattle fairly easily. But tonight, Bills and the Jags, 7:30 kick. And then the Bengals and the Washington football team, now known as but won't always be known as the Commanders, they will get going right after that. Let's slide Josh Allen in first, Scotty. Then we'll do the rest of the numbers after you talk to Cody. Actually, I'm going to save everything because now that I look, it's we don't really have less than a minute. I got.
Let me just say.
I got less than a minute.
My buddy that I bet with, on my website, he is he's going for it with the commodes tonight. And I'm like, bro, listen, the Bengals are winning that football game. If they cover,
I hope so.
I will be stunned. I think the Bengals take it out on that team tonight. I do not think they're good. I think they're going to kill Daniels, and they're going to beat them by 10 or more.
I'm in a big knockout. Only a couple guys left. I took the Bengals tonight, so hopefully I advance on here.
You will.
I need the Bengals to win.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, look who it is. We got him back again. Thank God. Cody Decker from Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM. He's a badass. And his show kicks ass and takes names. I've always loved him, and it's always a pleasure to have him on C2C to riff a little bit with us. So, Cody, good to see you. I know you went to a wedding, your buddies. You got shafted on the food. You had to drink your way through it. St. Augustine, Florida, not ideal for you. But thank God you made it through it, and I made it through Pittsburgh. I was sweating rum hungover, 2 days hard, and here I am with you to talk baseball. It's the final week of the regular season. Who ends up with the best record in baseball? The Phillies, the Yankees? Who's it going to be to get that bye?
I've said from Jump Street the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, and I'm going to stand by it until the very last day. That doesn't mean they have the best pitching staff. Doesn't even mean they have the best offense. There's something about this team collectively. You got Shohei, you got Mookie, you got Freddie. All three of those guys are healthy. You got Max Muncy back, and you got a semblance of their pitching staff back, relatively healthy. I do think the Dodgers are going to end up being the best team in the game. I think they're going to end up with that bye, and I strongly think it's not a good thing. So far, we've seen the bye, what, for two, three seasons so far, and it hasn't garnered the results that I think Major League Baseball truly wants. I think the idea of parity is great, but to this point, the bye has been a punishment for the best teams in Major League Baseball.
What is your opinion of this guy, Ohtani, in terms of what you've played with and seen in your career? Like, there are guys... I won't deny that he's a badass and he's brilliant. I won't deny the guy can hit to the moon and can pitch and can do everything. He's a phenomenon. I mean, the guy is literally a freak. But, you know, when I was covering the Pirates in the 80s, Barry Bonds was that player. He was a 20-20, then a 30-30, then a 40-40. And then when he went to San Francisco, he started juicing and lied about it, obviously, like everyone else. But I have never, I don't care if he juiced or if he drank cow milk. That guy, he could hit a fastball better than anyone I've ever seen in my life, including Ohtani. And I'm going to say this, I've seen better base stealers in my life. I think Ohtani's incredible. He had 50-50. That's incredible. But I mean, that guy, literally, like Lou Brock, Ricky Henderson, they were both better than him. Stealing bases. I don't care what anybody says.
No question. Well, Ricky Henderson is in a class of his own. I mean, famously, Ricky Henderson called Harold Reynolds the one year that Ricky got hurt because Harold Reynolds ended up winning the stolen base record that year. And he called him and said, hey, how many did you get this year? And he said, I think I had like 63. Oh, Ricky would have had that at the break. Ricky was in his own category when it comes to stealing bases. But you're not wrong. I mean, listen, Barry Bonds, I've had the luxury of hitting with Barry Bonds and working out with Barry Bonds. And I love Barry Bonds. As a kid that grew up a Dodger fan in Los Angeles, who I hated him my entire lifetime, and then getting to know him off the field, dude, he's one of one. But, dude, I got to say, Ohtani is – when I say one of one is just it's a different thing. This is a year where Ohtani's supposed to be injured. And during his injured year, decided to go off and do something that's never happened in 150 years of Major League Baseball. I hear what you're saying about the Barry Bonds of the world, but I'm telling you, of all the people I've played against, and I have played against Ohtani, Mike Trout is one of those guys where I'm like, that guy's not playing the same sport as me. Ohtani might be playing a different sport than everyone put together. This was supposed to be a down year for Shohei Ohtani. And I was telling everybody to fade him when it came to the MVP at the beginning of the season, because at no point are they ever going to give an MVP to a National League DH. He's going to have to do something that's never happened. Did it.
Well, he did it. Yeah, he did it. So is it the Yankees or the field, which contains the Astros? Seven straight pennant series. They're like the Chiefs in football. They go every year to the ALCS, come hell or high water, but everyone and their brother in sports books and on media, and certainly everyone here in New York City, is stupid enough to fall for the Yankees every single year since before Christ. I mean, in New York, every single year, the Yankees either win the World Series or it's a lousy year.
Yes. It's exactly that. And being in New York right now, I'm having to deal and mitigate all of these really sad Yankee fans. And if they lose one game, oh, we're awful. Brian Cashman should be fired. These people are insane. I can't stress this enough. They have the best record in the American League. Do I think they're going to the World Series? I did have them as a pick. But remember what I mentioned about that bye? Of all the American League teams getting that bye, the team I think would be the worst with that bye is the Yankees. They're a team that is very predicated on the long ball. You got the Judges, you got the Giancarlo Stantons, and the Juan Sotos of the world. And that doesn't mean Juan Soto doesn't get on base. He does. But if you're a team that's predicated on offense specifically, taking your offense and putting them down for 5 days and putting them on ice, I don't like that, and I really don't like it for the Yankees. Now, I'm going to look at the field. I did take a flyer at the beginning of the season of a 1981 Dodger-Yankee World Series, and a part of that is my heart. I want to see it. That's what I really want to see. So badly. But, dude, if you're giving me the field, I'm going to take the field because there are some teams in here that are very interesting. The Cleveland Guardians are criminally under-discussed. They just are, and they're without Shane Bieber, and they're doing this. The Houston Astros, like you said, they've been an albatross and just the devil to the Yankees for years and years and years, not to mention everybody in the AL West. The teams I think we should look out for. Believe it or not, the Detroit Tigers, and here's why. The Detroit Tigers are hot. And when it comes to October, it's not the best teams that win the World Series. It's the hottest teams. That's how we got the Texas Rangers. That's how we got the Arizona Diamondbacks last year. And right now, no one's hotter than the Detroit Tigers. They are now holding on to that second wild card spot. If they can hold on for dear life for these next 6 days, who knows what this team does in October. But another team that does worry me, if they sneak in, and there's only one reason, because this team is allergic to offense. I can't stress this enough. The Seattle Mariners are terrible at hitting baseballs, but this team could pitch baseballs better than everybody in the American League. If they get into October with those young arms, I'm really scared for everyone that faces them.
They got a week to catch up, two games, and I'm sorry. You know, I guess the Royals could blow it because they haven't been playing well. Tigers have been playing great. Twins got swept by the Red Sox. I want to ask you about the Mets because I wouldn't want to play them either. Now, I know that the Padres and Diamondbacks have been great, but the Mets win a lot.
They do. And if they get Kodai Senga back and they keep this kind of good feeling going, we saw it last year, dude. The Mets, it's not out of the realm of possibility. They weren't even supposed to be here. This is already a victory of a season. They're planning for next year. This team is not going to be going anywhere for years and years and years to come.
And then I just can't imagine they won't give Pete Alonso the money. And they think they're getting Soto, and they thought they were getting Ohtani. They think they're getting everyone, and then they get no one, and then you're going to let that guy go makes me sick. Hey, let's talk. We're in the playoffs, Cody. How's that?
Anytime.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So we're talking about the doubleheader tonight of Pain Day Monday Nighters. We got two of them. One of them, Jags, Bills, and then the Commodes and Bengals in the jungle. The first one's on ESPN at 7:30. The other one's at 8:15 on ABC. And always good to have two games on, not one.
Always good. They should do this every Monday night going forward. I'd rather that than like
forever.
7 1 o'clock games. Just do it forever. Two games on Monday night. Let's start, of course, with the first one in the B-low. Bills 2-0, Jags 0-2. Josh Allen, despite the start, he knows they've had problems with the Jaguars the past couple of years, Scotty. Some really bad losses to this team. Here's Allen.
You know, they're front seven. They get after it. And they got two really supreme edge rushers. I'd even go out and say three.
No, they don't.
You know, the last couple times we've played them, they've gotten the best of us.
So
taking that to account, obviously a new D coordinator there. But they're flying around. They're playing real solid together defense. Got guys with a lot of motor, and they don't let up. So we're going to have our hands full, but good week of practice and put our best foot forward out there Monday night.
You know, I think the Bills should win, but stranger things have happened. I kind of like the Jags and the 5.5, if you can get six, whatever. They're so desperate, and they have played so poorly that, like, it's starting to crumble in Jacksonville. I think they're losing faith, and I know they'll never admit it, but I think they are losing faith in Doug Peterson, and I think people are starting to wonder about Trevor Lawrence, who they gave all this money to. He can do shampoo commercials, but the reality is he's going backwards right now from where they were a couple years ago when they were everybody's darling.
They certainly are. There's no doubt about that. They have lost, dating back to last year, Scotty, seven games in a row now, the Jaguars. So they finished poorly last year. They've started 0-2 this year. I'm going to pass on Peterson because I don't want to hear from him anyway. You mentioned those 5.5 and the six. It's actually gone down now here a couple of hours before kickoff. We are looking at 4.5 now. Bills minus 4.5. With a 46.5 total. I got no problem. I don't want to touch the line tonight, Scotty. You know how I operate. I want the Bills to win the football game. I would be dangerous with them laying that number just because they have had issues with this team in the past. And we've already seen yesterday, 0-2 teams playing very desperate here this weekend, and the Jaguars are another one of them.
Well, look, it opened at 3.5, and now it's at 4.5. I got it at 5.5. Now, maybe I'm imagining things that it went to 6. It could have somewhere, but I got it at 5.5. And, you know, I'm not really feeling good about it because, A, I think your Bills are pounding it and looking good, and everything's back to normal with Buffalo. They're winning. And then the reason I did it was because I honestly think, and I know I said earlier, my partner that I do a lot of this with, he's on the commodes at that 7.5. And I am on the Bengals beating their ass tonight. And I hit a lot of games Sunday, and I was only at one that I cared about, but I hit a lot of bets. So I think the Bengals win their first game going away. I said to somebody today in the airport, they should have beat Kansas City. They blew it. They fumbled a ball late in the fourth in a game that they had in the bag. And when you make huge mistakes in money time, it always ends the same way, poorly.
Bengals are 7.5 right now with a 46.5 as well. So same total for both games, 7.5 for the Bengals in that one. I do have for you, I got the most bet player props for you too. For the Bill-Bengal game, Cook under 16.5 receiving yards, Allen over 233 passing yards, Thomas over 41.5 receiving yards, Allen under 1.5 passing touchdowns, and Kincaid over 38.5 receiving yards. Most bet player props for that game.
I like the Kincaid. And what's the number for Allen? 233?
Yeah, that 233.5 for the passing yards.
Yeah, listen, there's better props out there. These are the most bet props by the guy that puts out the most props of anyone on earth. And God bless him for it, but there's way better bets out there. I'd rather bet on Cook running the ball than catching it. And these are his favorite prop bets in the publics that bet there. Let's stop with these are everyone's favorite prop bets. Do you know how many houses of ill repute there are? I mean, honestly, I don't just have to listen to him or, you know, his favorite bets and all this other stuff. I really don't. I've had enough of that.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, winning isn't everything. Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.